The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
What's up, guys? Kels Charles Megan Murray here, and you are listening to Girls Talking Boys in partnership with SB Nation. As always, hello.
Happy Friday, you guys. This is Meg Murray. We lost the game on Sunday to the San Francisco 49ers.
Unimportant.
But I just need you to know that we did win the Dan Quinn war, and that's really all I care about.
I like the way you phrase that because it's all about winning the war versus the individual battle.
No, it really is. Hold on. I'm sorry. There is squeaking going on behind me, so you're just going to have to deal with it. Anyways, so...
We can't even hear it. That's even better.
Oh, fantastic. It's driving me crazy then. So me and me alone. But... the Dan Quinn news makes me super excited because I think we all had like this foregone conclusion that that we were losing him at the end of the season. Yes. And the end of the season came sooner than we all wanted or expected or anything like that. But the fact that he went into all these interviews, he like did his due diligence. He brought his binder with him and he was like, this is me. I'm Dan Quinn. This is what I could do for your franchise. And then he was like, but also I'm not going to do that because I'm staying in Dallas. Was exciting.
Drop the mic and everyone's like, oh!
Yes. I mean, it was one of those things where I don't think like, I, amongst many people, have not felt true joy since the loss on Sunday. So to see that news come through the ether was like really exciting.
How much would you have wagered that he would have been gone this next season?
I probably would have bet everything I have, which means I'd be homeless right now. So that's not good. I think it was like really just the amount of head coaching jobs that are available and the fact that he's just the probably the bigger name of people that are going for it. I mean, there is Sean Payton out there in the world, but the fact that Dan Quinn has had so much success in Dallas as the DC, I think that was really just like one of those things where he was really coveted. People wanted him. I bet he could have gotten a lot of these jobs if he really wanted them. But he decided he wanted to stay in Dallas and he wanted to finish what he started. He said that last year. And the fact that he's doing it again really makes me excited for what's to come, especially with the guys that we already have and just building on that chemistry and adding in like some new talent, maybe a cornerback, cross my fingers. Just to like see where we can go from we leveled up again, let's level up again. Like that's exciting.
Yeah, no, it is. And I don't know, like is this like the most Cowboys fan thing ever where I'm still kind of a little like in disbelief and I'm like, how sure are we that this isn't a Randy Gregory type situation? Like, I'm over here like, where are the loopholes and how hard are they to get through? Because I have PTSD.
If he wasn't quoted himself, like, I wouldn't believe it necessarily until, like, I heard it from him. But since he's, like, said things since the interviews and, like, confirmed that he's staying, I'm not even, like, if I really think about it, I'm not even totally surprised. Just because, like, I mean, he's obsessed with his, like, guys. And, like, the fact that he has such a monster in, like, Micah Parsons. And you know, there's Jaron Curse would follow him to the midst of Avalon. Like, there are so many guys on this defense that are like absolute dogs. And like, he's just like, how can I make this even better? And I think it's kind of exciting for him. And honestly, I'm not even sure that he, like, we talked about this last year. We were like, we weren't sure if he was like totally ready to transition into head coach, and maybe that's why, like, we were, you know, just summarizing that, like, from the fact that he stayed and the fact that he's staying again. It's like, I don't even think that it's not that he's not ready, it's maybe he just doesn't want to deal with the pressure and he loves his job. Like, is that, that should be enough, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that could totally be feasible. And also, like, one component that I feel like is worthy, because to address your point for a second, like, him being in Atlanta towards the end, like, it got ugly.
Yeah.
And so, like, I can imagine that that just really, really, really took a toll on him. And not saying that he, like, backs down from that, but, like, I can imagine, like, the transition and how light it must feel to go from being, like, this, honestly, like, for a while, like, most hated in Atlanta type thing, you know, like, where – to, like, revered here in Dallas, like, the god, you know? And on top of it, like, I would say that I have to give Micah Parsons some credit, because it feels like Dan Quinn, obviously, above all people, understands the generational talent that's at his fingertips. And I feel like, to steal a line out of, like, PFT and part of my take, like, this almost feels like an ultimate, like, football guy move, where he's, like, he's like hyped to work with Micah, and like, he realizes the opportunity in front of him to be able to like actually full blown like mold this man into, again, not just the a future generational talent. Like, he already is incredible, and I just feel like at the stage, it's almost like a different stage of his career where he's like, yeah, no, this is badass, and like, I'm super hyped to be a part of this. Like, he's like celebrating some of the novelties versus like just holding a title.
Yeah. And I mean, like, the 28-3 thing will live in infamy. Like, do you want that to be your legacy, or do you want that to be like, I molded the one of the like most elite linebackers, edge rushers, what have you, the most dynamic like defensive guys in the league? Like, right. That's kind of exciting too. And like, the fact that it doesn't come with nearly as much like overhead and like admin and a lot of pressure, I feel like that's probably a huge plus for him too. Like, he watches Mike McCarthy, you know, have to stand out in front and do all this talking, and he's like, I don't really have to do that. And that's kind of fantastic.
Yeah. And also, like, again, like, this is solely just conjecture, but like, I feel like, again, like, we've seen like firsthand what has happened. Like, we all know that coaches and players like dedicate their lives, and especially coaches, like, they literally are constantly working, right? Like, it's like a running joke, like, who stays the latest and gets there the earliest, and like, people sometimes will stay overnight and sleep and whatever. And like, I look at all of that and I'm like, honestly, he I know he still has an insane workload and a big job, but I would have to imagine that it's less of a workload than being a head coach. So he's probably also maybe enjoying some newfound free time with his family. Like, I know, again, like, I before he came to the team, I like heard about his wife and like how she's really cool, and like, they are like such a good couple.
We'll want to be her best friend, for sure.
Yeah, we wanted to be her best friend. And it's like, again, like, I don't know, I've never talked to her, but like, as someone who like worked for the team and dated someone who was on the football side, understanding how much they work, I would imagine any additional free time is welcomed by those that love him. And again, like, who knows if any of this has anything to do with it, but like, I feel like it's at least like a positive.
Yeah, I mean, the front-facing answer is always going to be about the players, and as it should be. And honestly, it's going to be an internal answer too. Like, let's not ignore that fact. But like, yeah, you bring up a lot of good points. Like, he probably gets to spend more time with his family, and that's freaking huge, honestly. And you know, his family has extended into the Dallas Cowboys walls, and for that, we thank him.
Correct, and we are grateful. And listen, like.
Swag daddy Dan reigns supreme, baby.
I'm not asking questions. I will say, though, while we did get clarity on Dan Quinn, it does sound like, I mean, you guys all saw, we're recording this Thursday night, all of the coaching changes. There are several people that their contracts weren't renewed, which makes sense. Like O-line, that seemed to be a little bit all over the place. Like that was an area that we've talked about multiple times. Like, while they did draft, you know, the future left tackle of the team, yada, 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 it's shown that there's been some struggles there. I know guys like Kyle Valero, who have been there for a long time. Personally, I'm sad to see him go just from a personal level. You know, he was pretty heavily involved in some of the development, a lot of these offensive guys when they first came in the building. And then I think the one that genuinely, honestly, like pretty was shocking to me was Leon Lett.
And that one, okay, that one was surprising. Yes.
Yeah. Like, I don't know if anyone was like surprised necessarily by, because they were just, you know.
I was a little surprised by Joe Philbin, honestly.
Yeah. I felt like you could, like,
as a critic of him last year, not a fan of his work last year. This year, I was actually surprised by like how he was able to like mold this line and was ever changing the entire year. And I thought that was impressive. But so I was surprised by that. But Leon Lett, yes, that one was like a big like, what?
Yeah, I don't know. Like that was interesting to me. And I also thought the comment about like him saying like some of this had been conversations around last spring that they were even having this thought process of shaking things up. And I don't know, like, I guess I'm curious as to like why now versus then. And then also it didn't seem like, did you get this vibe? Like it didn't feel like there was a ton of commitment towards Kellen Moore. Like I didn't get those vibes at all.
To be fair, he hasn't ruled himself out of any head coaching jobs.
Fair.
So I mean, we'll wait and see on that. If he manages to grab one, like, good for him. I think like outside of the organization, we're all like very not, I wouldn't say, okay, I'm not, I don't feel this way personally, but I just think like the overall sentiment from like, if we're gonna do a generalized statement from Cowboys Nation, they are not happy with Kellen Moore.
Sure.
I feel both positively and negatively about him. So like, I'm a weirdo that, and I get that, but I think the organization in general does like him. I would not be surprised if he does end up with a head coaching job. I also wouldn't be surprised if he ends up as an OC somewhere else.
I would probably put my money more on like OC somewhere else, but like at the very least, like, I just hope when he's going through A, his evaluation with McCarthy, and B, his head coaching interviews, that they're asking him like, hey, man, can you walk me through the logic of that last play? I need to know. Someone needs to find out, because like, I need to know.
The amount of times that this has been brought up this week, and I'm not even going to go in on it because like, I don't have that much to say. But like, yes, that is a valid question to ask, because what? And also, there were a lot of things leading up to that that just like really ground my gears. Yeah. I mean, should I get into the fact that I like went off on Twitter on Sunday night or no?
What did you pull a full Kelsey? Like, I don't remember.
No, I didn't. I did delete it because I was like getting annoyed by like the amount of dumb A responses that I was getting from people. It was not even like I stood by everything I said, but I was just like, are you guys for real? Like, one more person comes into my mentions, I will lose it. So I deleted them. But
what were they saying? Like, basically, like coming after that?
That night was just like getting really obviously. Okay, let me backtrack.
I'm backing it up for you. Keep going.
Dak did not play well on Sunday.
Correct.
Period. Point blank. Correct. End of story. But it just feels, and I know people in different, you know, fan groups, so I like get a good sense of like what's going on.
Sure.
And then you turn on the TV and it's just Dak failed. Dak is the worst. Dak is so bad. Blah, blah, blah. And it's like the week prior, it was Dak played the best game of his life. He can really lead this team. And it's just, the thing to me is Josh Allen had the same season as Dak Prescott, but he's an MVP candidate. And Dak Prescott is not. Why is that?
I mean, was it the same?
He's younger. His team was predicted to win the Super Bowl. I think everybody had the Bills in the Super Bowl. For the most part. There were obviously Chiefs people too. And I get that.
Yes.
But they had very similar seasons. Like their turnovers. Dak had like what? Three more interceptions than Josh Allen. Josh Allen played badly against Miami without Tua. They don't have a great defense either. And he played badly against the Bengals, who have a decent defense. And I said decent, I mean that. Like, they're good. They can handle their business. But they're like, if you're talking about like stats and stuff, they rank about eighth. And we played a defense that was much better than that. So like, just keep the same energy is all I ask. Like, Dak played bad. So did Josh Allen. Let's talk about that.
Well,
that's what I went off on, of course.
That's fair. I see the points you're making. I'm pulling up their
stats. He just gets so much more crap than anybody else if something goes wrong.
I would say like a couple things. Like, I think Dak is a really good quarterback. I don't think that Dak is elite. And I don't think that's me, like, at least yet. And I don't think that's me being like, I love Dak. I just think that
to criticize Dak, by the way, just for everyone that's like, does that make me a hater? No, criticizing somebody doesn't make you a hater. What makes you a hater is being a douchebag. So keep that in mind.
I just think like the thing that is the hardest part for me to be able to tolerate when I hear about like people coming after Dak is they're like overpaid. And I'm just like, man, not to keep having to go into the business of sports a million times over, but like, tell me you don't know how markets work without telling me you don't know how markets work. Like, it's not a matter of whether or not you think he's worth that money. It's a black and white question. Do you want a franchise quarterback or not? And if you do, which he is the caliber of a franchise quarterback, he may be the caliber of a Kirk Cousins franchise quarterback more so. That's not fair. That's not a fair assessment, but like more so than a Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers. Like he's not like on that certain level, but like he's a franchise quarterback nonetheless. And so if the answer is yes and yes, then you have to pay the market rate, which is set by the previous quarterback that got signed, even if they are, quote, better than you. That's all it is. And like, that's what like really like annoys me is people are like, they're not worth it. And it's like, bro, like that's not, again, like that's just not how it works. Like no one's sitting here being like, let me give him $1 trillion because we would like to just ruin the salary cap. It literally is a, do you want to fill this hole on your roster with a franchise caliber quarterback? If the answer is yes, then you will have to pay market rate. The end.
Well, and the thing is, he is a franchise caliber quarterback. Yes. Do I think he's in the top four quarterbacks or five? No. He's in the top 10, though. And, like, the fact that, like, people like to say that he's not is just funny to me. And there are going to be people that are like, you just are obsessed with him, and that's why you say these things. No. The amount of times that I say bad things about Dak is a lot. But I feel like every time I come on here, I must defend him because of all of the crap that I see. I'm like, listen, what are your other options? Oh, you want to draft a first round pick of a quarterback? Okay, so like, how did Zach Wilson do? You know, you want to talk about that? Zach Wilson, great quarterback, right? First pick, actually, I believe. But yeah, that was elite, right?
Right.
Come on. Like, not every first round quarterback is going to be elite or fit into your system. It's a matter of making things work. Here's where you need to fix things. Give him more people to pass to. Not broken Michael Gallup. Sorry, Michael. Like, you're still not well. Sorry.
Right.
And not Noah Brown. Give him someone else. And that's like, and we have T.Y. and that was great. But like, he needs a true like two or like a one caliber next to CD, and that he does not have that. And it was very apparent in that game.
If you want to go after the front office for like decisions that they've made about personnel, I would feel like the one you should retroactively get mad about is the Amari
Cooper.
Yeah, literally. That's what you should be mad about.
Oh, or I've been mad about it since the day it happened. And I'm with you.
I might be mad about Lyle Collins maybe a little bit. I don't know.
Well, if he is in your team-friendly deal and you would have had him to rotate in there. So, yeah, that's annoying.
Like, it's...
I'm still annoyed. I'll always be annoyed about that. I don't care how way it gets.
I will say, like, on the Dak front, all of that to say, like, I, like, will defend Dak and everything else. But at the same time, like, his response, like, how his interceptions were unacceptable. They just were. And they were
out of the Gallup one was really annoying because it was a Gallup one. But
yes. And it's just like, it's fine. Like that, all of that to say, like, when you are a franchise level quarterback, you do need to still show up, even if you're not the franchisiest of franchise quarterbacks. And you can't not like all those interceptions.
No, you're not wrong. And it like, but okay, if we're talking about quarterbacks, it takes a certain quarterback to elevate people to be good. Like that was Tom Brady. There are not Tom Brady's just sitting out there. Brock Purdy is not Tom Brady. I'm sorry. He fits great into that scheme that he was drawn up in from Kyle Shanahan. But you saw the creaks and cracks in their like game when they played us. Like I could see it. If we played better, we could have won that game. And that's on Dak. And I get that. But like, there are quarterbacks that can elevate players. There are quarterbacks that can play into a system, and there are quarterbacks that need help.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries, not including...
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, "Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog," she's like knocking on the door going, "Everything okay in there?" "Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog."
He's one of them.
He needs help. He can't do it by himself, and that's okay.
I also want to write this team one big prescription for a psychologist, a sports psychologist.
Send me a psychologist for that game.
Yeah, I need a new one. Because here's the thing. Everyone, I just feel like there's a lot of like mental errors that I've seen. And that was probably another one of my takeaways from this season. And I'm like, y'all need to get your head right, because I'm a little concerned.
No, you're right. You asked me what my takeaways were from the season.
Yes.
And my takeaway from the season is we don't need Sean Payton, and Mike McCarthy is going to do just fine.
Whoa.
Which is very opposite of what I would have said if you asked me at the beginning of the season.
I am intrigued by this development.
One, like, when you sit and think about it, if you know anybody that has worked in this league, Sean Payton's not a nice guy, and he's not respectful of people's time, and I hate that. Mike McCarthy's a bro. Like, he will be there with you. Like, he'll show up a little late to practice, whatever. But he's there. And he's going to, like, talk to everybody. He's going to be kind. He's going to be courteous. He's going to keep a good locker room.
People
like to forget the fact that, like, Sean Payton is that he, like, had such a great offense so many years. They went 7-9 like two times in a row. Like, please spare me. He's not bringing Drew Brees with him. And Drew Brees, even if he could, is a shell of himself as a quarterback. So, like, what do you want from this man?
They also had a headhunting.
One Super Bowl, and so did Mike McCarthy. Okay?
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 He also had, like, that, like, bounty scheme thing coming out.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Like, don't even get me started on that.
Lord knows that's the last thing we need.
Yeah, no, I don't want to touch that with a 10-foot pole. Like, if you compare the two guys, they're two of the same, but one's nice to people and one's a not nice to people.
Yeah.
And that counts for a lot, honestly. And the fact that he was able, like, I honestly, like, they spoke to the rookies this week, and they, you know, really touched on, like, how, like, deep the love in this locker room goes. Like, these guys are, like, really close.
Right.
And that's why Dan wants to stay. That's why, like, that's why you want to keep McCarthy. You want to keep the integrity of that locker room, and he is a huge reason why it is that way. And I hated him for his clock management and his play calling at the end of the year last year. I don't love a lot of the things that happened, but, like, if we can improve on anything, like, you have the guy, you will have a lot of the guys. You're going to add people to this roster, and they're going to come in and they're going to feel at home, like a lot of the rookies said they did this year. Like, Mike McCarthy is probably the guy. And I was very anti that, and I admit that.
I actually, it's funny you say it. Like, I'm, like, reflecting right now, because I'm a new manager, and I've, like, managed people, like, loosely in the past, but I'm, like, newer to it. And now I not only just have, I have four people that I am, like, responsible for.
Right.
And I have a company that, like, you know, coming into a new department, like, creating process, launching, you know, new initiatives, refreshing old ones, like, it takes time. And I've, like, noticed that, and, like, I'm like, oh man, like, I'm just now starting to see, like, some of the benefits of the things that, like, I put into place months ago. And I would imagine that is just amplified tenfold with an intricate operation like the Cowboys, and, like, managing. I mean, you've got 100+ people that are directly, like, reporting to you, if you consider, like, the team at, like, full capacity at different points of the year, and all your staff. Like, it just, I'm like, again, like, I'm not going to excuse some of the dumb stuff that he's done in games or whatever else.
Yeah, but like, me neither, just for what it's worth.
Probably, like, you're probably right. Like, you know, I feel like maybe he's doing better than, like, we're giving him credit for. But it does suck to sit here as a Cowboys fan again and be like, oh, great, here we are again, like, watching everyone else in the playoffs. Like, that's exhausting.
But if you put a little perspective on it, which – it's not easy to do when we're sitting here right outside the NFC Championship. But we put together two back-to-back 12-win seasons and went to playoffs two seasons in a row. We haven't done that in a very long time. I think we've talked about this before, so I'm not going to like beat a dead horse here. But like, that doesn't just happen for nothing. Like, there's a lot of stuff that goes into like coaching. You have to, first of all, let's go back to when Dak was injured. I'm going to back up even further. Remember when Tyron was injured and we were like, well, this season's over?
Yes.
And then we went through that
first game. Before it even began. I hate it here.
Like, before it began. And then we went through that first game and we were like, oh, this is our season. This is going to be bad. Like, this is, buckle up, guys. And they were able to mentally, as a team, pull themselves out of that. They were able to ride behind a guy, Cooper Rush, that, like, you know, they made the offense a little more simple.
Yeah, and just, like, streamlined.
Right, they streamlined it. Sure. But, like, who's at the front of that doing these things? It's Mike.
Michael.
He's keeping them together. Like, he just deserves more credit. And no, I did not like him his first few seasons. And I don't take it back. But people change. And so do my opinions.
I feel like...
When warranted. Asterisk.
Yeah.
So that's my takeaway. One of my takeaways.
I feel like for me... I am at this place where I feel like you and I kind of switched roles a little bit, where you're actually more optimistic than I am. And normally I'm like talking you up and I'm over here like, dude, I'm tired.
Yeah.
I feel like
get it.
I actually like, I hate it. Cause like, I love like Leon Lett and I love Kyle. And like, that's like tough for me to see because like, those are people that I consider like friends. Right. So I feel sad to like see that and their careers impacted. If I remove myself personally and look back objectively, like I do feel like I, as a fan, appreciate the fact that there are drastic or at least like semi seemingly pointed changes being made in light of the fact that, again, like here we are. So I think that's one of my assessments, because it makes me feel at least a little less bitter than I initially did the moment in time that we didn't make the playoffs again, or proceed rather, because I was just like, bro, I'm so tired of being in this exact same place, like year in, year out. But like, I guess if that's a silver lining, I found it.
Just to like tie that coaching circle thing, like, I think because we went off on a Kellen tangent and then my takeaway tangent, which actually was a coaching tangent. But I just think that the reason that they are letting a lot of the interior staff go is that, like, you're right. There were some people that they were watching just to see, like, from the previous season, just to, like, you know, see if it worked out or if it improved, got better. I think you see something like that and you're like, we have to make a change, and I'm making them where I like, where it's more tangible, where I like, I don't know who they're going to bring in. I'm not saying like they're bringing in someone who's better than Leon Led or anything like that. You would hope if they're cutting him that they're doing something better.
Right. The goal is to always upgrade, kid.
Of course. But they just had like, at this point, when you lose like that and you're inches from like the NFC Championship, you have to do something. They're not getting rid of Mike. Like, literally Jerry yesterday was like, I want him to coach as long as Tom Landry coached for 29 years. So what he's saying is he's not getting rid of Mike McCarthy. Just stop talking about it because it's not happening. But we are keeping Dan Quinn. So, like, what else do you do to drastically change the interior of that, like, what's going on? And that's it.
Yeah.
The linebacker coach one really surprised me, too.
Oh. Yeah. I mean, that I didn't even, like, I actually didn't even, like, think about that for a second. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, again, like, that to me tells you who holds the relationship, and that's Dan Quinn.
Yeah. And honestly, if he left, there are a lot of guys that would not sign contracts here to go wherever he's going.
Hell yeah. I mean, he's so like a recruiting tech tool in itself for free agents.
Literally. It's not like college, but like if anything's slightly like that, it's like you have these free agents out there and he knows them and he's like, I know what I can get from you.
Hell yeah. I'm sending him on the road like Saban. I'm like, Go into this man's house, sit down with his wife and talk to her and tell him why he needs to come play for the Dallas Cowboys, Danny boy.
Oh, I would love that. I wish that was a thing. Him going to the draft, though, is going to be like really exciting. I think that's like a huge thing. When you're looking at, we have defensive needs and like some that I would take priority on. I was talking at dinner with my dad and I was like, if it was me, I know there are going to be a lot of people that disagree with me because there's a whole conversation.
They're wrong.
There's a whole conversation about the running back room that like needs to go down. But like my thoughts are you should take another O lineman first. And then you should take a cornerback. And I'm thinking we need to get a good guy like from free agency for a wide receiver and like someone that's experienced. Then I would in the third round. So that's why I'm ignoring the wide receiver position at the moment.
So you're picking up OBJ when he's healthy again.
Yes, 100%.
You're like, absolutely, I am.
I'm absolutely picking up that man if I can get my hands on him. 100%. Yeah. Well, because, think about it this way. How long did it take CD? Like, and CD, I would consider him at this moment in time, like, he has reached elite levels, maybe not to the most elite, but he's like up there. He got really good at the end of the season. It's been a minute since we drafted him. Like wide receiver talent just doesn't blossom overnight. Those guys that are like dogs that are running backs, those guys can bloom pretty quickly. I'd say pick a third round running back. Everyone's has us picking a running back in the first. I think that's a dumb idea. No offense.
Don't do it.
I wouldn't do it. I'm not Will McClay. But I don't think Will McClay would do that either if I'm being 100.
100.
They're like, okay, cornerback is obviously a glaring problem. If you had picked up someone like, I'm not that I'm mad about like having Tyler Smith by any means, but if you picked up someone like Patrick Surtain, like that paid dividends.
You're like, life could be different.
Yeah, I still like the Tyler pick. I do. But, like, you could pick a Surtain this year. What's the big deal? Like, do it.
You're like, do it. Just do it.
And he gets to be next to Diggs. Like, make them fear the secondary again. Please.
Fear the secondary. Is that kind of a rhyme?
You make moves for your offense. I know there a lot of people disagree with me. That's fine. You can make moves for your offense in free agency. The thing is, they haven't done that because they refuse to make a splash. So make a splash. Be a Howie. Go all in. Look at the Eagles now.
Go all
in. They went and they got themselves A.J. Brown. What'd you do?
Yeah, but Eagles for never.
Oh, I know. But, like, I'm just saying, don't let them one-up you, bro. Like, they went and got A.J. Brown. Look at them now.
Yeah.
He's like, not the one and only reason why they would be there. It's just like the fact that Jalen Hurts has all these things to fall back on is like huge.
Yeah.
Jalen Hurts was the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys right now. He'd be far worse than Dak Prescott. Far worse. And I mean that.
I would agree. Well, on that note, my I'm laughing because oh God, my boss is texting me and may or may not have just challenged me to figure out how to get Del Conte, the AD of University of Texas's cell phone number as a bet.
Oh, fun.
I know. I was like, what do I win? Because I'm so in on this. And this is the most strange text I've ever been a part of.
Yeah, this late at night. That's a... You can make some things happen. I believe in you.
Thank you.
We'll have this by lunchtime.
I'll have it by lunchtime for sure. Yeah. Well, either way, I am back to Cowboys and away from the University of Texas, a different Texas program.
Although everyone wants the running back from, not everyone, but like a lot of people are.
Speaking of running backs, Bijan.
Yes. A lot of people are mocking Bijan to the Dallas Cowboys. I don't dislike that. And I know I said, I think that would be dumb to do. I don't dislike it. I just think we could do better. That's what I'm saying.
I'm just here to tell you that I am here for this entirely.
Yeah, we'll have to bring Jeffrey on once he's done done his due diligence and tell us who we should be drafting.
Yeah,
we'll do a draft. Maybe we'll bring Jeff and Dave on at the same time.
Oh, nice! Like a mini draft show.
Yeah,
I actually love that idea.
We'll get the beast printed out. If you live under a rock, is Dane Brugler still with The Athletic? Yes.
Yes, he is.
If you are subscribed to The Athletic, which you should be, so you can read John Machota, Dane Brugler is the draft god, and he has a giant book of all of the draftees of this upcoming class, and he has gone through and told you everything that you could ever need to know about them.
He really is incredible, and like, it's unbelievable that this man, I mean, he's probably like 90% of the way through it. Like, the amount of time this man spends on this is so unreal.
Yeah, I don't think it's, yeah, you make a good point. It's not ready yet.
Yeah. But I will say too, one of my best recommendations, Murphy, is that you go and get this printed, like Megan just said, and bound.
Yeah.
At a UPS. Like, you can literally, you have, buy it though. Like, don't be Snakey McSnake.
Don't be that guy.
And figure out another way to get it.
Like that guy.
This man spends his livelihood making this happen. And he has a beautiful wife and children. So pay your $5. Anyways.
Yeah. And you can read everything John's ever written. We have great NBA content that our friend Tyler Batiste edits. So like all these things, you could read it. You could read a lot of things.
If you love us, you love them.
Yeah, but you love them.
Highly recommend that as a guide. I know some of the guys on our site too put some really good content together as well. So
yes, the draft show is coming up. I think it just came on this week, maybe.
Ayo.
If it didn't come on this Thursday, it'll be next Thursday likely. And yeah, they are always a good time. It's a DallasCowboys.com podcast. You can find them under like anywhere you listen to podcasts. Just look up the draft show and it's gonna be a Dallas podcast. Because who does it better, baby?
Does it better?
Probably somebody, but not on a podcast.
Well, I will tell you what's happening on this podcast. I've gotten to the point where I'm feeding my dog banana bread to keep him quiet on the show. So at this rate, luckily we have an entire off season to really dissect what happened this season and things that we're going to learn from it. And then just looking ahead to draft. So let us know what you guys want to see this off season. I feel like we can come up with some fun content for y'all. I think this is year three for us, Meg. This is year three.
It is.
Wow.
We started in 2020.
Oh, that's what we can do.
Quarantine.
An anniversary shirt edition. We're gonna get on that. We won't tell you too much because we're excited. I think it's gonna be kind of cool, and we'll fix our process. Although, again, we'll still be working on it only part time because. But
we would have someone on it full time, which is different.
Boom.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, Thanks so much for joining us. We do appreciate you tuning in as always and for your support. It does mean the world to us. Make sure you're subscribed to the Blogging the Boys podcast, wherever you hear your podcast, whether that's Spotify, Apple, iTunes, or Stitcher. Also, come hang out with Meg and I on the socials. I'm on Twitter at Kelsey_Charles. I'm also on Instagram at Hey Kelsey Charles, and Meg is
at Meg Murray with 4 R's on Instagram and Twitter. I know I said some spicy things, and I will keep doing it. And I will explain it if you ask me questions.
The end. And I will also tell you, no matter what you say, no matter what you just said about Howie, there's some words that mean more to her than anyone else. And those are
Dallas forever, Philly and Howie for never.
Birds are not real.
Go Bengals. Joe Burrow is my hero.
Joe Scheisty.
Your girl knows who Joe Scheisty is. She knows who you are.
Pete Davidson, who?
Your girl wants Joe.
Bye, guys.